words of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have had the privilege this last week of attending and taking part in communion in a fellowship with the Lord, a fellowship one with another, reminding ourselves of what it has cost Jesus. And this morning we have gathered here to give thanks for that wonderful gift of salvation and the privilege we have of fellowshipping together in that way. And each and every one of you is welcome. We are glad for each one that has come and taken part this morning. And for those of you that will be listening at home or later, each one is welcome to take part in this service. And we thank God for this privilege of being able to share his word and to continue to fellowship together so freely. Let us begin this morning with prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of love, a God of grace, a God to whom we can come at all times, and we know that you will hear our prayers. And so, Lord, it is in that mindset that we are calling out to you again this morning, with thankful hearts, rejoicing in the hope that we have in you. Lord, we thank you for this country, the freedoms we have in this country, that we can gather together in this way, that we can share your word freely with the whole world and all who just have a desire to open themselves up and hear your word. Lord, we pray that you would be with our country and that you would bless our country, that you would bless our leadership. And Lord, that we would also have the desire to live in faithfulness to your calling, as that you have taught us we are to be obedient to those in leadership. And so, Lord, we pray that you will be with all those that have gathered here today, and that your spirit will truly be in this place. And Lord, for those that can't be here because of illness, because perhaps they are not feeling well at home or in hospital, the elderly in care homes, we pray for them. We pray that you will be a comfort and a strength to them, that they will be encouraged to know that they are not alone, but you are present with them. And that in all things, we will allow your spirit to lead and to guide us and to speak to us and through us as we look into your word and allow it to teach us. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will have some songs now.
In the blue hymnal, The Light of the World, number 156.
Sin, the light of the world is Jesus.
Number 480, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Feel free to stand. Never alone.
Promise never.
Thank you for singing. And thank you for the comfort in those words. Jesus is always with us. He will always be with us. He will never leave us alone. And when we think of that, we go through life here in this world, on this earth. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is with us. But when the time comes for us to move on into glory, he is still with us. So we are never alone. How comforting and how encouraging that is to be reminded of how much he has loved us so that we can truly have that comfort and that hope, that assurance that we will always have Jesus at our side. His Spirit will always dwell within us. As I mentioned earlier, that we have had the privilege of sharing communion together, reminding us of how much God truly loves us. And this morning we want to continue and we want to encourage ourselves in how important it is for us to truly be thankful that God has opened up that way of hope for us, that we can have such a time of fellowship together. I want to begin this morning with turning to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And I know that if you are familiar with the book of Revelation, it is a book that John has written, but it is a message that Jesus gave to him. And as we read through chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have the many different, or the seven different messages that Jesus gives directly to John. He speaks them out, and he tells John what to write to each of those churches. And then after that, John sees visions. And John records those visions that he has seen. And we have all of that, and it is sometimes hard for us to put together because we don't quite know when this happened and when that happened or when it will happen. And so we sometimes struggle with putting that together. But we know that the messages that Jesus spoke to the churches are a reminder to us as a church, as to how we are to go forward, how we are to conduct ourselves. And I want to read through that message that he speaks to the church at Laodicea, and I want to especially focus on verse 19 as our text. Beginning in verse 14 of Revelation 3, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this is a message to the churches. And some people look at it, well, it is to those churches, and it doesn't apply to us. I believe each and every one of these messages very directly applies to us. Jesus does not want a lukewarm relationship. Jesus wants a relationship which is faithful, which shows that we love him. And he truly does love us. We see that in the story that we have again heard of how he suffered, how he gave himself to die in the most cruel fashion that man could think of. Jesus gave himself to that. And it is a reminder of his great love. And if we focus on verse 19, he says there, as many as I love. Now, who does he love? Who does Jesus love? Does Jesus not love all people? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world that he gave Jesus. So we can say, God loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. There is nobody left out. So let us never feel that we are not loved. You know, God cannot otherwise than love. Because, as we read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Very clear. Love is of God. And so John admonishes us and he says, Brethren, because love is of God, and if we read the rest of 1 John, we know that he is writing to people that have put their faith in him. And so he says, Now, brethren, let us love one another because love is of God. That is where it comes from. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then he says in verse 8, He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. So because God is love, he loves. He doesn't love for a time period. He doesn't love certain people. He loves always, and he loves all. He has created this whole world in such a wonderful way that it is for us as a benefit. And he wants us to enjoy those things that we have in this world, but he wants us to do it in a way that we express our love one toward another. Because he loves us. You know, when we want to be thankful, we need to recognize God's love. If we don't recognize God's love in our life, we won't have love. 1 John tells us that very clearly. We need to recognize God's love. If we don't have that, we don't have love. So love is of God. Now we don't always feel loved, and we don't always love. And we can say the reason for that is because we have a sinful nature. And we don't always realize the greatness of God. Paul, he also lived a life in which we can say that he had some struggles. And, you know, in the early part of his life, he was young and he was ambitious and he was a Pharisee. And he knew the law and he lived by the law. And he tried to teach everybody that the law is the only way to go. You can't do anything outside of the law. And he was willing to persecute anybody that did not live by the law. But when Jesus got a hold of him, he recognized that God loved him. And that is when love entered into his heart. That is when love was a part of his life. And as he went on from there, he, in Romans chapter 7, explains how it often feels for him. You know, those things that I want to do, I don't do, and those things that I do, I don't want to do. And how often isn't it that way with us? But he goes on from that in verse 24, and he says this: O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That feeling of wretchedness, that feeling of I have done wrong in my life, I am not worthy of being loved by God. Sometimes we feel that way. We may have that struggle in our life. And he asks that question. So when we consider, you know, Paul has written so much of the New Testament, and he was a good and godly man, yet he too had struggles, just like you and I do sometimes. But you know, after he asks that question, he says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, we have just been reminded this last week of how much Jesus suffered for us. As we partook of that communion feast, we were reminded that as the bread was broken, how his body was broken. As we partook of the cup, it reminded us of how his blood was shed. And it was all because we became free and because we could say, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Because Jesus Christ has become my Lord, the Lord of my life. So then he says, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. With the mind I serve the law of God. In my mind, I have become that regenerated person, that new person. I live now in that newness of life. No longer having that desire to serve Christ. And it is because of that that I can truly be thankful. And you know, Paul goes on and he shares to the Corinthians as well in regards to his thankfulness. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 57, So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O sting of death is sin. and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We can only be thankful to God because of the victory that we have, because he paid my sin debt. And so that just the thought of that should move us to thanksgiving, to rejoicing in the hope that we have in him. He says further, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast. We have gone through this time. And he says, now be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, to remain steadfast, to be unmovable from the faith. It does not benefit us a whole lot if we live our life in a way in which we just go through the formalities. And when the time comes that we want to have communion in church, and we have a Sunday of a preparation message, and then we have a time of communion, and then we set aside a Sunday for thanksgiving, and we go through all the formalities. But you know, when we do that, it is good. But let us be mindful that not just those times, but it should be our life, our everyday living, should be giving thanks for those things which Jesus has done for us. That he has loved us so much that he gave his life for us. Our text says that as many as I love, I rebuke. He doesn't say that I am just going to love you, but he says I'm also going to rebuke you. I am going to chasten you. There are going to be times that life is not going to be all that pleasant. You will go through some struggles in life. And you know, the way I understand this, he will be in control. He will be in control of those times in life where we would like to see it different. You know, and as we have gone through this last year and a half or so, and we would have liked to have seen different. But let us remember, Jesus loves us. There is rebuke. He has allowed this to come over the whole world. He is chastening his people. He is calling on them to say, you need to return. You need to return to a faith in Jesus so that the world can see that you love Jesus. Not just on Sunday morning, but when you are out there at your workplace, out there in a store perhaps, wherever you may be, where you are fellowshipping with people who don't normally come to church, people that maybe know God. They have a relationship in their own way with God. But as I have experienced myself very recently, where I talk to a person like that, and he is watching the church, and he is watching it very carefully, and he does not have a good report of what the church is doing. He said these words to me, I thought the church was a place where people loved each other. where they walk together in a spirit of unity. But when I listen to the news, in those areas where we thought there were Christian people, they are fighting with each other. And I had to agree. And we should take lessons from things like that. We should realize that we cannot go on in life calling ourselves Christians and not live it out. We need to express our love one toward another. We need to love. We have been called to love each other. How much are we loving each other? Our text talks to us about being zealous. What does zealous mean? It means to have intense enthusiasm. How enthusiastic are we in our Christian faith? Do we truly seek to live it out? Do we truly try to live out our faith in such a way that others are going to be able to see that we love Jesus? I opened with 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And I want to close with verses 6 through 9, where it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So we have salvation. We talk about being saved, that we have made a commitment to Christ. We have been born again. And while we are going through life from there on, we faced temptations. But he says, may these trials that you are going through, that they may be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That your faith may be much more precious, even in a time of trial. That your faith may be very, very important to you. So that even though you have never seen Jesus, not personally, but that believing you rejoice and you have joy which is unspeakable. That is the type of thanksgiving we need to have day by day, because we know that one day Jesus is going to call us all home. To some, it may be very sudden. To others, we may have a time of grace where God allows an illness to come onto our body and we realize that life is coming to an end, and we have a time of preparation. But to some, that doesn't happen. What then, if I should suddenly drop and be gone? What would people say of me? I want to leave that question with each and every one of you. In closing, let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of love. We thank you that you care for us and that you have provided for us all our needs, especially our spiritual needs, so that we do not need to be confused about our salvation. But we can know, Lord, that because of what you have done for us, that you have opened up the way for each and every one of us to have a forgiveness for our sins by repenting, by confessing our sins before you, and if necessary, before others, so that we can be cleansed and that we can go on through life knowing that your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us, that we can have that hope that we will one day receive salvation from all the trials and the tribulations that this earth can bring us. And we will be set free and enter into heaven's glory. Lord, we ask that you will help us to understand how simple this truly is, and that you require of us, that you want us to live out our faith in such a way that others may be able to see that it is not just a faith which we talk about, but also a faith that is seen in our lives. We thank you for each one that has come today and each one that will be listening or is listening, and we pray for each one of them. We pray for your blessing upon each one, and we pray that we may truly be moved and drawn into a closer relationship with you. We thank you for loving us, and Lord, we love you. Help us and strengthen our faith as we show our love toward one another. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we want to give each one the opportunity to go for themselves, and if we have the health, we want to go on bended knee, and let us pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. John will have an announcement at this time.
Good morning. Just a few announcements that we want to make. Today is Mission Sunday, and I believe there was an announcement that went out on the group that we were going to have a special collection today. And then on November the 3rd, which is this coming Wednesday, we plan, Lord willing, to have Bible study at 7:30. And it says if there's interest for English and German, we will try to accommodate both. We'll see what happens when when Wednesday comes around. So encourage you to be part of that if you can. And then on November the 8th, we plan, Lord willing, to have a general meeting here at 7:30, and it pertains to a couple of different topics, and it's in your bulletin, but the first one has to do with the purchase of 2 acres behind the church for cemetery expansion. And we know it's been filling up quite rapidly, and this has been a process that has been ongoing for some years already, and the board has now come together with gathered together the information and the cost, and they invite us all to be here, the men and the women, and they will present it, and we need to make a decision as how we want to go further with that. And then the other one is, as we have 2 services, a German and English, but sometimes one pastor does one service and another pastor will do the other one. And the question that we want to decide on, or the decision we want to make, is do we want two pastors for that morning, or do we want one pastor to do both services? And so it's something that the list committee would like to know when they put their list together, coming very, very soon, I believe. And then the other thing is just a discussion on how you feel about the way the services are done here. So I just invite you all to come prayerfully, and that we can all together make a decision that will be constructive, and it'll edify the church and bring honor and glory to God. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank you all for coming and being a part of this morning's worship service. In closing, let us close for the benediction. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us go in peace with the Lord. May God bless you all. We would ask the ushers to come forward, please.